Do you ever feel like no one is listening? Proverbs 18:13 in the Bible says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. To think you know before you know, that's just silly. But we seem to do it all the time, don't we? We seem to. This is an experience of a pastor from Pastor Life magazine. Listen to his dilemma at a wedding. He said, I began a ceremony and thought, is his name James or John? And I knew I would have to speak to him, so I said, is your name James or John? He said, James. And the bride nudged him and said, your name is John. It's hard to listen. It's hard. But I think it's what we are called to more than ever today. I believe God is equipping his church to be a listening church. So in Ephesians, the passage today, chapter 4, it begins with, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Life worthy of the calling. So that's what this new series that we're beginning today is about. It's about our calling, which is community building. So we're not just building a building outside. If you're new with us today, you see there's a construction project going on out there. We're in this process of building on to the building. But even more than that, we are building the mission of the church here in our community as God's family. And we do it by making followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus. Jesus said, go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we did today, Ren. Is that right? We did baptism, yes. And we are committing to that claim for all of us and for those who are joining us through baptism in the faith, and that she will grow up and profess that as her own. And we teach, and we are called to build. And a great place to begin to do that, I think, today is building a listening community. A listening community. I think it's highly significant that this passage begins in the letter of Ephesians with the need for Christians to live together in love and unity. He says, bear with one another in love. So that's community, isn't it? That's what it means to be together. That means like through the good and the bad, the thick and the thin, we bear with each other, we hang with each other, and we do it in a loving way. It's a unique job, really, to be that community. And we're called to lead the sort of life that matches our Christian calling. So the Alexandria youth pastor, on the way home from Moose, after a few days of little sleep and lots of activity, you know, feeling tired and stinky and all those things, we're going to stop and go to some fast food places and get some lunch on the way home. And she said, remember, as you go out there, you represent Christ. You represent his church. So as we went out, I went into a restaurant. I ordered some food, big long line. I was standing there waiting because there was people getting pop, and I just kind of had to get off to the side. I was standing there, and all of a sudden I heard, order up. And the door from the kitchen swung open and smashed right into my back and knocked me forward, almost knocked the wind out of me. And I turned around and I looked at this kid who's holding a tray of food, and his eyes were like this huge. And he was like, he must have saw my face and what I was thinking, and I didn't say that. And he was totally scared. And I have to be honest with you, what was rolling through my head in that very moment was the words of the Alexandria youth pastor, represent Christ, represent Christ, represent Christ. Because what I wanted to say was not very Christ-like. You know, it's not just for students, is it? And when they talk about reflecting Christ's life and Christ's image. So when the kitchen door slams into you from behind, the apostles' words apply. Live a life worthy of your calling. You know, at 2 a.m. in the morning, in a very overcrowded junior high room, while sleeping beside neighbors who have little interest in the appropriate 8 hours of sleep, live a life worthy of your calling. You know, when we commit our lives to Jesus and become part of the church in the world, live a life worthy of your calling. Say that with me. Live a life worthy of your calling. So how do we do that? Well, with the attitude that represents the character of Jesus, Paul writes, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love." And this is how we love one another. So when you are humble, you know, really do something about the needs of others and not only your own. It brings you concern for what others need. And then you tie that with gentleness, and then you're considerate towards others and those needs. You empathize. You begin to understand how they feel and maybe what they're thinking, and more importantly, why they're thinking what they're thinking. And then when you tie that with patience, then that means that we stick with one another through all those circumstances. And sometimes it means even suffering with one another. You know, that's what the church is. That's being a Jesus-centered church empowered by his unconditional love. And that kind of love is actually the hallmark of the church. And so when the youth pastor in Alexandria, Sara, is saying, you know, represent Christ, she's saying, be who you are, who you're called to be. So when we're living together like that, we're living into our calling as a vibrant, Christ-centered church where every person is loved and equipped and set out for service, and we lead all generations to Jesus. And one way I believe that these qualities stand out today in our world, in a community, is a community of Jesus followers who listen. Who listen. If it feels like nobody is listening today, and when nobody is listening, listeners stand out. If you become a listener, you're going to stand out. Now, you might be wondering, how did we get to this from Ephesians chapter 4? Well, I think today, listening is part of our calling, especially today. I think it represents exactly the kind of humble, gentle, patient, loving character that the Apostle Paul is talking about in our world today. And this is a good place to start our community building series, begin by listening. So we listen with each other, and we listen to each other. With each other, and to each other. One of the most famous Bible passages on listening, one that we would probably all go to if we understand this passage, is James 1:19. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick," say quick,
"quick
to listen, quick to listen, slow to speak," say slow,
"slow,"
"and slow to become angry," say slow,
"slow."
So quick, slow, slow. He says, if you're taking notes, right, take note of this. This is really important. This is our calling. Be quick at listening, slow at speaking. But here's the really interesting part of this passage. It's actually not about listening to each other. It's about listening to God's word. So when we look around at the verses in this context, what the Apostle James is talking about, he's talking about being doers of the word. He says you can't just read the Bible and listen to what it says. He says the whole point of listening to it is to do it, right? So, James is inspired by the Holy Spirit with some truths about how our minds work. And this is how we either hear or we don't hear. He's writing about how we focus. You know, if we don't pay attention, if we don't have this genuine interest in hearing what the Word of God says, then we're going to have trouble receiving it. It's hard to accept. I think that principle certainly applies. Now, you might literally have an attention deficit disorder. And, you know, this might be very hard to listen and to be able to interpret and gather. But I think this is really more about the willingness of the heart. And if you have a willingness of heart to listen and hear God's word, and if you're willing to do the hard work of listening, because I tell you, it doesn't matter who you are, listening is hard work, then you'll be able to receive God's word and be able to do what God has called us to do. So why are we to be slow to speak? Why slow to speak? Well, again, this is actually pretty profound. I think Katie touched on it. If you're continually talking, if we are continually thinking about what we're going to say rather than hearing what the other person said, we're not going to hear them, right? Well, that actually applies to the Word of God as well. if we are continually distracted in our mind, if we're not paying attention, if we're not desiring to really hear and understand, we're going to miss it. And if you add anger to the mix, then just forget it. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So anger and miscommunication, they actually just go hand in hand. We miscommunicate, it brings on anger, we get angry, we no longer listen. A Bible commentator explains it like this. They always make it a little more difficult, but I think it's pretty profound. Ceaseless talkers may easily degenerate into fierce controversialists, and a fiercely argumentative attitude is not conducive to the humble reception of truth. You know, friends, we all know that we are living in a season where those fierce argumentative attitudes poison conversations before they even get started. Do you get excited about having a conversation with someone who you know is set on their way and they're not going to even hear what you have to say? Anybody excited about that? Probably not, right? It's hard. So do you live by the motto, I don't discuss politics or religion? Maybe here's a different way. Begin with an attitude of genuine interest and curiosity. Curiosity about what that other person feels and understands and knows. And I'm not talking about tossing out our convictions, not at all, or standing on biblical truth, not at all. We hold those dearly. And yet, we don't get rid of kind and compassionate and Christ-honoring conversations to do it. If we are willing to listen, we can engage in that process. We can begin to connect with one another. So how do we grow a vibrant, lasting, Christ-centered community? Well, first, by listening to God's word together. And you, by being here with us today online, you are being part of that process. We are engaging God's word together. Being here, sitting here, we're hearing God's word and processing it. So we are listening. This fall, we're going to begin what we call life groups. These are small groups of gatherings of your peers, your friends, and probably some people from the church to do three things over a six-week period. To be able to join in a Bible series to hear and discuss God's Word, to meet together and have fellowship and get to know one another, who we are, and three, to serve the mission of Christ together, to find ways to be engaged in the calling that we have, to live that life worthy. So I'm inviting us all to consider being part of a life group this fall as we engage together. You know, it's vital that we grow together as we listen to God's words together. But James, he doesn't stop here. He's all about putting listening into practice. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So we do that together as we build a listening community. So how do we listen? Well, first, listen to God's word, and then we listen to each other. So let's jump to another book in the Bible that has more to say about listening. In Proverbs 18:13, we began with this verse. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Pastor Tim's preaching translation is this. Talking before you're listening is dumb. If you're a poor listener, it probably reveals that you don't really care what someone else is saying. You're just too focused on yourself and not on the other person. At least that's the impression you give. And I'm going to be honest, no matter how much I say, I do care, you just don't understand. It does not come across that way when I'm not listening. So listening well is difficult. I know. I have to work really hard to listen. I have to be very intentional about it. Does anyone else feel like that? It's hard to listen. Maybe you felt you're not listened to. Or maybe you have listened to someone and a few minutes later you're thinking to yourself, what did they just say? And who am I talking to? Good listening takes hard work. These following quotes represent two imaginary journal entries as a wife and her husband reflect on the same day's events. So his journal, in her journal, this is her writing. Tonight, my husband was acting weird. We made plans to meet at a nice dinner, at a restaurant for dinner. Conversation wasn't flowing, so I suggested that we go somewhere quiet so we could talk. He agreed, but he didn't say much. I asked him what was wrong. He said nothing. I asked him if it was my fault that he was upset. He said he wasn't upset and that it had nothing to do with me. Don't worry. On the way home, I told him that I loved him. He smiled slightly and kept driving. When we got home, we just sat down and watched some TV. He continued to seem distant and absent. And finally, with silence all around us, I decided to go to bed. About 15 minutes later, he came to bed, but I still felt that he was distracted and his thoughts were somewhere else. He fell asleep. I don't know what to do. His journal entry. Rough day. Boat wouldn't start. Can't figure out why. When we are at Moose, we automatically assume that we have to repeat things several times so that the students will get it, right? Breakfast at 7:30. 7:30 is breakfast. What time is breakfast?
7:30.
Here's my question for all of us. Why would we assume adults are any different? We don't get it either. We have to hear things several times in order to get it. Students, guess what? Some of your leaders have to hear it more often. But there are some principles that apply to great communication. We don't all get it at the same rate. We don't all get it at the same time. So we need not only to be good listeners, but church, we need to also be good communicators. And I'm going to share some helpful skills that I think will go a long way in helping us to be both good listeners of each other and good communicators for each other. And through that, to be able to advance the mission of Christ. So at this point, you might be thinking, like, where is this in the Bible? Well, that's a great point. I think here's the truth. God made us, right? God wired us. God designed us. As researchers study the human brain, they have discovered some things about human communication, which I believe is God's design for who we are. And so there are ways to help us listen. One of these techniques is called reflective listening. And it's a simple path to help us empathize, to understand one another as we are communicating. And it applies the scripture principle that we talked about before, about listening. So author and speaker Liz Bohannon, she describes these tips on reflective listening. Maybe one, maybe two of these will help. There's four of them. First one, initiate a conversation. Sometimes, you know, in order for us to get that conversation going, we have to start it. We have to initiate it. Now, the whole goal here is to listen, but sometimes it means we start. It might be a difficult conversation. One of the ways we can start that is maybe beginning with something like, you know, I have a concern about the sleeping arrangements at Moose. When can we talk about that? And then go from there. Maybe you have to schedule an appointment. Maybe that conversation can start now. So start the conversation. Then we move from there to clarify and validate. And this is where you really do your best listening. So you might ask, can you tell me more about that? You know, the goal is to get the person talking and keep them talking. How did that make you feel? Now, that can be a difficult question for men. Men are reluctant to talk about feelings, you know, as we read in that earlier illustration. So how we can do that if the environment is safe. Do you hear that? If the environment is safe, if it's confidential, if it's caring. It's not about getting information for an argument. This is about listening and validating the conversation. So aside from keeping the conversation going, the only thing that you should say at this point is something to acknowledge or affirm what the other person is saying. So more questions maybe to keep it going is, what is it like to be you in this situation? Allow them to speak. Is there anything else you'd like to share? So we have a start the conversation, we have clarify and validate, and then we have reflect back and summarize. This is a key point to know if you actually heard what the other person is saying. And here's the thing, you might think you heard what the other person is saying, but you might have got it wrong. You might think they said something, and maybe they did, but it might not have been what they mean. That's why this point is so important. And it goes back to clarifying. So you might say, what I hear you saying is this, that it's okay, you're going to get through the night, and in the morning, we'll have breakfast. Moose, right? So do I have that right? So you clarify this back. And keep clarifying until they feel that you have understood them. So finally, move forward. The last step, move forward. Don't be defensive. Don't try to defend your position or argument. Just simply be focused on them and their experience and their needs. That's what unconditional love is concerned about. Now again, this isn't about not telling the truth. It's not about standing on the word, but it is about open and honest communication about where someone's at. You know, we can't move forward until we're honest about where we are at right now. That's kind of the idea of repentance, right? The whole idea that I'm standing here now, I'm turned away from God, but I'm repenting and turning towards God. There has been no physical movement, but everything has changed. I think in conversation, when we begin to understand and learn one another, everything begins to change. So if appropriate, you know, you can acknowledge your part in the mistakes or hurt. You can apologize if necessary, if needed. Invite them to share any ideas that might help move forward in these conversations or in this life together. And then be doers of the word. Move forward and reflect that calling that you are called to. So reflective listening. Steps: 1, start a conversation. 2, clarify and validate. 3, reflect and summarize. And 4, move forward in the relationship. You have a calling to build the church. And we build it as a community that listens with each other and a community that listens to each other. So when we listen, we understand. When we understand, we empathize. When we empathize, we begin to understand how someone feels and what they're thinking and why they're thinking what they're thinking, which is just as important. And then we begin to come together in unity as the family of God to be who God has called us to be. So we keep doing that in our calling when we do our best to stay in it together. The apostle writes, make every effort, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So we're building community at Bethlehem Church. As the foundation is put down on the building outside, we are putting down the foundation in our own lives and building this ministry extension to make more followers as we listen to one another. So let's take one step deeper into being the community that Jesus wants us to be. So in the passage on the screen, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to invite you to say out loud the one statements that are underlined on the screen. Do you want to bring that up? Let's say it's, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In his book, Stress Fractures, Charles Swindles, he writes, I vividly remember some time back being caught in the undertow of too many commitments in too few days. Maybe we recognize this. It wasn't long before I was snapping at my wife and children, choking down my food at mealtimes, feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day. Before long, things around home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up lifestyle, and it was becoming unbearable. I distinctly recall after supper one evening, the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me about something important that had happened to her at school that day, and she hurriedly began, Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast. Suddenly, realizing her frustration, I said, Honey, you can tell me. You don't have to do it fast. Say it slowly. And he said, I'll never forget her answer. She said, Then listen slowly. Your calling in the next 24 to 48 hours, so within the next 2 days, is to be a doer of the word. Slow down, listen, and build the church. Who do you need to listen to? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have called us by your word to build your church. And in this season, when it seems like nobody is listening to one another, Lord, you're calling your church, I believe you are calling us to listen, to be a listening church. So Lord, help us to do that. Help us to practice those skills that will allow us to be your church in a world that needs to demonstrate your unconditional love. Lord, help us to listen with an open heart. Lord, if there's someone that you have placed on our heart today that we need to listen to, Lord, give us the courage to start that conversation. Lord, to help that other person begin talking and then just listen. Lord, whatever that might be, help us to do that with gentleness and humility and patience and love, and unite us by your Spirit. Lord, help us to be curious and confident in who we are in Christ. Maybe there's someone here today who feels like possibly that you need to be listened to. Lord, I pray that someone will come alongside this person, whoever that may be, Lord, with a listening ear, with what needs to be heard. Lord, I pray that you would make that way. And Lord, for anyone here today who feels that maybe, just maybe, God is not listening, that God has not heard you, I want to just remind you that God does hear you. God is listening to you. Continue to pour out your heart. God hears you. And for anyone here today who does not yet know God as their Lord and Savior, He as well is listening to you, inviting you to come and to be part of the family of God. If that's you today, just know that God is listening. In fact, God is saying, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. If you are ready, simply ask Jesus to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins. Say, Jesus, forgive me. And pray, Lord, fill me with your presence, your Holy Spirit, that I may know you are listening to me. Lord, help me to listen to your word and be a doer of it. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen.